This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Teich. Thank you so much for tuning in today. The U.S. Supreme Court yesterday declined to take up an appeal of a ruling overturning Wisconsin's same-sex marriage ban and that of four other states. And with that, same-sex marriage once again became legal here, with Milwaukee County's clerk announcing he would again issue marriage licenses to lesbian and gay couples. The Supreme Court's announcement was unexpected in many quarters. For some local perspective on the issue, we're joined by Lewis Weisberg, publisher and editor-in-chief of the Wisconsin Gazette, the state's most prominent LGBT newspaper based in Milwaukee. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
As the editor and publisher of a newspaper that has covered this issue closely, were you surprised that the Supreme Court declined to take up this case?
I was shocked. I didn't see it coming. I don't think anyone saw it coming. I don't think even the people who filed the case with the ACLU, the people with the ACLU who filed the case, thought that this was a possibility. It kind of took everyone by surprise.
Does the way the Wisconsin Gazette covers this story change now? Does it become a non-issue the way no one writes about heterosexual marriage as an issue today?
Well, I wish that we long for that day, and that's certainly our goal. But I'm afraid we're a long way from that day. It's there's still many things, many hoops to jump through. For instance, no one really knows until the Supreme Court has issued a final ruling where they say that these same-sex marriage bans are absolutely unconstitutional. The whole question at a larger level still remains open. As a practical matter, I think it's unlikely that with people in 30 states now getting married, that you can backtrack on that and suddenly, you know, tell them they're not married and all their legal safeguards and protections are no longer valid and that their vows are no longer valid. I mean, you can't go back, I think, and break up families. So we feel pretty secure that this is permanent, but it isn't actually permanent until the Supreme Court has issued a final ruling, and no one seems to know when that'll be.
You do see this as there's a distinction here that the Supreme Court has decided at this point by deciding not to take up the case versus ruling affirmatively in favor of same-sex marriage.
Exactly. That's absolutely the case. What they've done is I think that Ruth Bader Ginsburg had said in the beginning, she'd said that she didn't want rapid court rulings on this issue, like sudden kind of knee-jerk rulings like the one that overturned Roe v. Wade, because in its wake it left so much attention and controversy. She wanted this to kind of come about on its own. And I think they've been waiting and they've been seeing all of these courts. They did a ruling that set it in motion so that these lower courts could make the affirming rulings that they made towards same-sex marriage. But now that all those rulings have been made, they, I guess they figure, well, we'll let those stand and then we'll take up the bigger issue at some later time so that it will be kind of encroachment and people will be getting used to it every step of the way as opposed to making a sudden lurching, you know, decision. That's speculation on my part, but Ruth Ginsburg has said that in the past.
Well, and your reporter's article on the Gazette's website at this point makes the point that same-sex marriage is essentially legal now in 30 states plus the District of Columbia. What is the essentially part about?
Well, I think that the essentially is the part that we just talked about. There's some formal motions that have to go through before even here. I mean, Joe Sarnicki is letting people get married again to the courthouse today, but even here, these marriages aren't real. The legal path for these marriages hasn't been paved until the appeals court in Chicago, the Seventh Circuit, until they've actually written the orders. You know, it's just that hasn't happened yet. I mean, it'll happen. I don't know how long it'll take, a day or two or a week, I don't know, but it will happen. But, you know, we're kind of forging ahead even without that.
Well, and this is a change at a legal level, but Wisconsin is still a state in which a majority of voters supported the amendment that banned same-sex marriage in the first place in 2006. Do you feel like, has the climate here changed since then?
Tremendously. That was 8 years ago, and it's been a sea change. Seriously, as someone who has been reporting on gay issues for 25 years, when I first started working in the gay press, which was in 1991, this was like so far this was like something that was in the Jetsons. It was so far into the future. We couldn't even have conceived of this even 10 years ago. This has happened so fast. Well, we could have conceived of it 10 years ago, because in 2004, that's when Massachusetts became the first state to legalize same-sex marriage. But even as recently as 2000, it just didn't seem possible. It's been a sea change. It's been rapid. It's been the result of people coming out and people getting to know us, and people not hiding who they are like it's something shameful. And the 58%, I believe, voted in Wisconsin in 2006 against it. I don't think a lot of it, because of the way this measure was worded, I don't think that a lot of people realized that they were voting not only against same-sex marriage, but also against civil unions. The way that the amendment was presented to the public was completely different than the way that it was interpreted. And even the Wisconsin Supreme Court, which is has a conservative majority, even that court said that the way that that amendment was presented to the public on ballots is not the way it was being interpreted. It said anything, it said marriage would not be allowed, but it didn't say the civil unions would not be allowed. It said that marriage would not be allowed or anything substantially resembling marriage. And then we had the domestic partner registry here, which only gave 23, conferred 23 of the rights of heterosexual marriage to same-sex couples. I mean, very basic rights like hospitalization visits, you know, right to inherit, essential things. But the people who brought the amendment about sued to get that off. They didn't even want that. So people, I think, saw that happen and thought, wait, these people just don't like gay people. It has nothing to do with marriage and protecting marriage. They're just bigoted. They don't like these people. They're going after them any way they can. And I think that also helped create a backlash, frankly. In fact, I'm certain that it did. I mean, it's certain that one can be, you know, anecdotally. But
Governor Walker was quoted as saying he considers the matter done here. Do you believe we have seen the last of same-sex marriage as a political issue in Wisconsin?
I think they are so relieved to have it done this way, because this way it's become a political hot potato. If they're perceived as, first of all, younger voters, voters under 30, vastly, like hugely a majority, young voters overwhelmingly approve of same-sex marriage, and it's by them actively crusading against it, these young people see it as retrograde and backward and focusing on the wrong things, and they're offended by it. So, you know, it's become more of a liability. At one time, it was a way to get Republicans out to vote. Now it's the other way around. Now candidates who are strongly against it in states like Wisconsin, polls have recently shown majority support for same-sex marriage in Wisconsin, but overwhelming majority support in Wisconsin among young people for same-sex marriage, young voters. So these voters are going to grow up. They're going to, you know, be the majority someday. And Republicans are really worried about their brand as seeming backward and, you know, Bible beltish, and you know, they're starting to think, what are these people doing? Why are they imposing their religion on other people? We need jobs here. You know, we need other things. So they're delighted that it's been taken off the table. They were terrified of it, I believe.
In a strange way, does this actually hurt the Democrats running in races, that they no longer have this as a campaign issue?
You know, that's really interesting that you ask that. That's a great question, because I was thinking about that earlier today, and I was thinking, wow, you know, because I have talked to people who have said that they perceive the Republicans as being, you know, low tax people, and they like that, but some of this gay stuff, you know, anti-choice stuff really turns them off. So I don't know. It is possible that it will actually maybe sway some Democratic voters. They might say, well, that's not an issue anymore. The Republicans are going to get over that stuff and leave it alone. So I'll take a fresh look at them with another perspective. It's possible. I mean, anything is possible in politics.
Are there other issues of equality that you still see out there for same-sex couples?
Yes, I see huge ones. I mean, even though something is law, imagine that when the Supreme Court does eventually, as everyone thinks it will, rule that bans on marriage equality are illegal. Even after that, you can imagine what it's going to be like for same-sex couples in Mississippi or Texas or Alabama or places like that. Or, I hate to say it, I don't really think it's that true in Wisconsin anywhere, to tell you the truth. But you know, they're still going to be fighting for these rights, even when the law, after the laws have changed. You know, having laws and enforcing them are very different things, and as we saw during the civil rights, the Black civil rights era. So this is going to be a, this story is going to be around, unfortunately, for a long time.
What would you expect in terms of the wider impact? Is Wisconsin's status going to lead companies to move here or stay here, or people to move here, or potentially people to move away?
I think it helps. I think that Wisconsin is one, I'm sure as you know, is one of the grayest states in the country. This is a really gray state, and by 2040 it's going to be even grayer, like incredibly gray. And young people are leaving, and they're leaving because of lack of opportunity. They're leaving because it's not hip, you know. They're leaving because they're leaving for reasons that correspond to the same kind of thinking that is against same-sex marriage. The, you know, the backwardness of it, the focus of it is so off. I mean, no one who's intelligent and young and open-minded and ambitious wants to be stuck in a place with backwater laws. I don't think. I wouldn't.
Let me ask this. If I'm not mistaken, this story also has a personal angle for you. You got married during the brief window in Wisconsin before the appeal halted things. Do you feel the Supreme Court's move takes you out of any kind of limbo? Not that the validity of your marriage had been challenged, but that it won't be an outlier as far as Wisconsin goes.
Yeah, I have. We were overjoyed. My husband and I were overjoyed to learn about this today. We didn't expect it. Like I said, he was out. He was at work, and I called him and I said, "We're married again." He said, "What?" And I said, the Supreme Court just turned down the appellate court, turned down the appeal, the lawsuit to hear the appeal. Van Hollen's request that they, you know, step in and issue an injunction. And he was like almost crying. He was overjoyed, and I was overjoyed. And we feel like we really, you know, I don't know how to explain this, but the day that we got married, we hadn't really thought about it very much. What it would, we knew that we wanted to be married for a number of reasons. Some of them, quite frankly, logistical, you know. And we were really happy that day. And then when the stay got the injunction was introduced, we were really, really deflated. I mean, we were really depressed. It was like I'd never experienced. I'm 63 years old, and I'd never experienced anything like it before. It was like it was just like being a kid again and being rejected or called a sissy or something on the playground. It was like, it just horrified me that this whole organization, you know, a government, the people who represent us, our government, actually stepped in and said, you know, no, you're a bunch of, you know, whatever, you can't be married because of who you are. And it hurt. It was scorched. So today is a great day, and I feel like we have a marriage certificate. We paid for it. It was issued in the proper way, and I have every confidence that it will be recognized.
Well, Lewis Weisberg, thank you so much for sharing both your professional and your personal reflections on today.
Thank you so much for asking and for caring. It was good to know.
Lewis Weisberg is publisher and editor-in-chief of the Wisconsin Gazette, a leading newspaper specializing in LGBT issues. You'll find a link to the Gazette's coverage of same-sex marriage developments at wuwm.com/lakeeffect. Back in March, Milwaukee Magazine's cover story examined the potential economic impact of legalizing same-sex marriage. We'll revisit an interview about that article when Lake Effect returns on WUWM.